Hey guys, thank you for joining us at the Behind the Build video series for the 2024 calendar project with Fire and Safety Services. Today, Harrison, New Jersey, the Harrison Fire Department, a career department here in Hudson County. Chief Henry Richard, thank you for joining me. I appreciate you. And soon to be Battalion Chief, Captain Joe Fogno, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
So this is cool, right? So we walked the department before. We got to meet the guys. We got to see the apparatus. We're featuring Engine 4 downstairs on the Behind the Build video series with Fire and Safety's project. I think for me, a big part of apparatus build is also understanding the community for which the truck was built for. And that starts with you, the chief of department, with your vision, with your needs and ideas, and then it filters down to where you get the build to be delivered. And so, Chief, maybe just to start us off, maybe a little background about Harrison, the Harrison Fire Department, and so on.
Sure, so Harrison is located in Hudson County. Hudson County is the smallest county in New Jersey. It has the fourth largest population.
Yes.
In Harrison, we're just over a square mile. We have just over 16,000 residents. And we have a diverse style of occupant as well as construction. So predominantly, we are wood frame buildings here with the ordinary mixed occupancy.
Sure.
And now with the redevelopment down in the south side of town, we're going to be looking at some low rises with a little bit of a hybrid kind of construction. Our response area is unique, I think, in some ways. We respond to everything. So every type of construction we have here in town, whether it be the fire-resistive, non-combustible, the ordinaries, and all that. So we need to be ready for that. We need to be versatile and efficient. We have a border of the river, so we do cover some of that. We have a Red Bull Stadium, which houses up to 25,000 people.
Soccer stadium,
yep. Mm-hmm. We also have the public service propane tank farm, which houses a million gallons of propane, which they use during peak shaving time when the weather gets cold, similar today. We also have the public service distribution center across the street, which carries a 36-inch main. We have a path maintenance yard that we respond to as well. And we have the Interstate 280.
Sure.
So we have
quite a diverse, mm-hmm. You know, for a 1 square mile, mm-hmm. 1 square mile, there's a lot of diversity within that mile.
We have a little bit of everything that you have to respond to, you have to be ready for.
Yeah, so the redevelopment is calling for some high rises.
Sure.
So that's going to be unique for us, some training, where the build started, thinking ahead, not just what we have right now, but thinking ahead where we're going to be. Putting the committee together was important to have representation from each area.
Right.
So we're talking about the battalions, captains, as well as the firefighters, who were the ones who were doing it on the floor. So we wanted to make sure we covered all those areas. They get good input. And some of these guys, they brought input from other departments there because they know the networking and all that. So it was good. It was a good committee. They did a really good job building Engine 4.
I think that's what's really interesting, right? Because not only that, but you're looking at, you know, your community is growing and building. And so it's maxed on the square mileage, so it's got to go up.
Yeah.
Right? As mm-hmm. population climbs. So you're seeing an influx of population, a rebuilding and a redevelopment of several areas within the town, mm-hmm. right? And so these are added challenges that come to your every day. I know that you went from, this is a career department, mm-hmm. right? You're running 3-man engine, a 4-man truck. So, and it's 2 engine companies and a truck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You guys have your hands full some days.
We do. And, you know, years ago, from the early 1900s to the mid-1900s, you know, Harrison was considered a beehive of industry. So they had all kinds of industry. You had Driver Harris, you had Campbell Foundry, which is still here. So mm-hmm. they developed all the sewer plates, which they still do. They're still in town. So you had Worthington Pump. They developed pumps for the Navy ships.
Sure.
Otis Elevator. They supplied the elevators a lot of buildings in New York City as well all across the world. They supplied these elevators. When these businesses left, they left not only a void for the landscape over there, but they also left a void financially.
Sure.
So in 2009, 2010, that all came to a head, and the fire department was cut with their manpower. We went down to 28 men, and we were riding with 2 engines. And since that time, through the support of the mayor and council have been super supportive. Director Harold Stahl, he's kind of, you know, he's guided us through this time, helped us keep our head above water, got us to a point, helped us to rebuild. And we have a great CFO. She's done a really great job with the money and helping us to rebuild, getting the ladder, getting the manpower that we need. As a matter of fact, Engine 4, we kind of went in a little bit early. We found out that that Pierce was going to stop, that was going to discontinue the Detroit motor.
Right.
So engine two is a Detroit motor, DD13. So we wanted to keep it familiar and similar to that. So I approached the director and the CFO, said, look, we really want to keep this. We want to get this in now, sooner than later, because they're going to discontinue this motor. So a couple of days later, she came back to us and says, okay, we got the money. And we were able to get that, which ended up financially saving us at least $200,000, because it was right before COVID.
Sure.
And, you know, during this time, you know, the delay that we had was probably about 2 or 3 months, whereas other manufacturers were giving them a lot more delay. And I could say other manufacturers also added on a cost, which Pierce didn't do for us. So they honored the price that they gave us, and we were able to keep that price. And they got us in, I think it was about 3 months. It was a November, it was supposed to be a November build, and we ended up getting it in February.
Yeah.
So it's been really, really, it's really worked well with Pierce and getting the department back to where we are. We're now a 46-man department. We have four 11-man shifts. They worked a 24-hour shift with 72 off, and we, like you said, we ride with two engines and a ladder. And we're looking to build. We're looking at another firehouse location. You know, we're in discussions with the town, so things are looking to keep going.
And we redid our whole fleet. All our frontline apparatus are essentially brand new.
Yep.
So, and it's all Pierce. And it happened, I hate to say overnight, because it doesn't feel that way, but now it feels like it was overnight. You couldn't wait for the ladder to get online, and then was the engines, and all of a sudden, here we are, all frontline, new frontline apparatus.
You know, you talked about this before. It's almost like family, you know, and our salesman is Bill Ring, and you know, he's really worked with us, especially on engine four. We really wanted a Detroit motor. It was the quote came in, and it was the numbers were looking a little high, and I said, look, we need to work on this. We really want to work this out, and he was able to do that with us, you know. So, and then moving into the maintenance with the fire and safety, like we said, we get the 5-year package with them. They're always ready to schedule us in. They get us in timely, and they work on it efficiently and get it back to us as soon as possible. I mean, you know, there's always a little bumps here and there, especially our tail ladder. So our tail ladder can't be maintained. It can't be worked on here. We have to bring it down to them. So we try to limit that time that our ladder is out of service. And they've done a really good job doing that.
Well, I think, and that's where the importance of relationships come in, right? Mm-hmm. It's understanding that in a small, dense town like this, going without the TDA is detrimental to the service that you're providing to your citizens. Mm-hmm. We need to have that truck. The downtime needs to be limited.
And it gets wider, too, because everyone these days are using mutual aid. I don't care if you're Newark, you're Jersey City, the bigger cities, everyone at some point needs mutual aid. Hudson County, we have a good mutual aid system. Us and Kearney kind of depend on each other closer because we're so close to each other. There's times that this ladder could be the only ladder on this side of the river.
Right.
You know, if Kearney's ladder happens to go over there, they have a tower, we have a tiller, it's a good balance. Actually, their deputy up there on a shift that I was working on wanted our ladder in front of the building when they had something because he felt like it was more versatile than their bucket. So, yeah, you can't really be out that long because you don't know what the next town over is going to have.
Yeah, for sure. And it should be said so people understand, because people from all over the country will be watching this. You guys are in the shadow of New York City, mm-hmm. across the river from New York City. You have Jersey City to one side, Newark to the other. Mm-hmm. And you're surrounded by other smaller cities or towns that are very mm-hmm. similar. Mm-hmm. Hudson County is a very populated county.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, being able to provide the service that they need and the efficiency and town here, just like many towns in Hudson County, the streets are narrow. So planning ahead is important. Planning our tiller, planning our apparatus, our engines was all well thought out based on all that. Our hydrant locations, which lines are going to be efficient to get them into the
sure.
building quickly. So we do have some setbacks.
Our train trestles.
Our train trestles,
are
yeah,
lower so. Than, you know, they're
right.
built in how many years ago, and you got to... You know, you could drive in that tiller and you feel like you're going to hit the bridge of your nose on that
right.
bridge. It's a weird
yeah.
feeling.
Right.
So I don't know who I was speaking to before, but for the tiller, if we could talk about the tiller,
sure,
we had to lower the whole back plate to accommodate, because years ago with our old tiller, which the business went out of service, we couldn't get parts for it. It was, what a nightmare.
I'm sure.
So that helped facilitate getting the piers that we have now. So they had to lower the platform in the rear because the tiller compartment needed to stay, the size of it needed to stay the same. So the previous one, they cut the roof off of it. We had problems with guys bouncing around back there that wasn't good. It was unique.
Yeah. So when you look at that infrastructure, you have to design your apparatus for your first do, right? Mm-hmm. And so when it came to it, you talked about the committee a little bit before, but when you put together the committee for Engine 4, mm-hmm. what was important to you to get, was it important to get information and feedback from all different areas of the job, different positions, captains, battalions?
It was.
And so on, and look, to the backstep firefighter.
Yes, it's a group effort. Somebody may see something that somebody else doesn't. So a firefighter may see something that from a different perspective.
Sure.
Yeah, it was important. And it was important to have flow and functionality within the rig. So I didn't want somebody taking something from one side and have to run around the other side to get the other part of it or whatever. Like the high-rise kits are all right there. So that was important to the committee as well as myself to get that flow and functionality.
Yeah, when we walked the truck before on the Behind the Build video, it was apparent that you guys really built it for how you operate. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, your intakes are, your primary is on the officer side, and then you have a secondary intake on the front bumper, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No rear intake and you know, you're not using a steamer cap on the pump panel on the chauffeur side, only because that puts you out in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. You guys know the distance between your hydrants, so you know your hose loads, you know. So it was all these things that as we walk apparatus, you can tell when a committee is really well put together and the build reflects what the first do area requires. And so here, it's an urban setting. You got street parking, double parked cars. Mm-hmm. You're running a TDA. So obviously, you know, streets are tight. It just paints a really, you know, accurate picture of what you need here, and that the engine certainly represents that.
Well, thank you.
I think we really wanted a rear intake at some point, and we tried when we sat here and we tried to work it out, and it just didn't play out because it would have been something different. There was definitely a call for it, but it didn't play for us.
Right.
And getting back a little bit, how important Engine 4 was, we knew other engines were coming. We knew there was. We had good confidence that more stuff was coming.
Sure.
And we want to mirror as much as we can, so we don't want to make any mistakes with Engine 4.
Right.
So it was more pressure with that than Engine 2.
Yeah. And Engine 2 helped the process of Engine 4 as well. The things that we said, well, maybe we could have done this a little differently.
That always happens.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
There's always going to be that one or two things that should have done that differently.
Right. Yeah. But for the big parts, like where your intakes are and all that, I mean, that's major stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you forget you're on the wrong engine, you have an intake at a different spot. It's, you know. You don't want to mess that one up.
And familiarity between the two rigs, mm-hmm. that was important.
Yeah, standardization matters, right? Yeah. When you're on the fire ground and you know, we need muscle memory. I mean, we need standardization if we can across the board so that we can plug and play. Because I know here you guys can cross the floor. You can have guys from the engine go to the truck and mm-hmm. the truck can go to the engine. So it's important that there's some standardization within. And I have to think, too, being a more modern fleet, I mean, this is not a big department. Two engines in a truck. You have, I think, two reserve engines downstairs that mm-hmm. I saw. So it's not a big department with a tremendous amount of resources. And also, it doesn't have a tremendous amount of capital for new apparatus purchase.
Right.
So I have to think that the apparatus that are downstairs that are all, you know, modern first-line pieces are going to be here a little while.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the other thing we thought about, too, is that's why we did go with Pierce, because Pierce has been in business for a long time. So when we put the LTI that we had, they're out of business. We're looking for parts. So that was part of that decision-making, that we want somebody who's going to be here for a long time and puts out a quality product.
Sure.
You know?
What do you foresee, you know, moving forward? I mean, things are evolving here so quickly for you guys. You know, you're looking at potential expansion in different areas and so on, but the apparatus have to grow or have to be built with growth in mind. So sitting with city planners, right, working with the building department and so on and understanding what the future looks like.
Well, we are talking about either expanding this location. There is talk about other locations. There's talk about another firehouse on the southern end of town to accommodate the residents over that way, the Red Bulls and all the redevelopment that's over there. So there's going to be, you know, the public service property on the other side of the boulevard is scheduled to be redeveloped. So you're talking maybe an increase. So in 2000 and 2010, Harrison was about 13,000 residents.
Right.
So in 2024, we're at 18,000. That's approximately a 40% increase in occupants, right, in residents. So you're talking about at least another 40% if they were to redevelop that
sure.
area. That's over 200 acres. So, you know, we look forward to that. We look forward to our growth. So
of course.
With that redevelopment, we plan on growing the department as manpower as well as with our apparatus.
And that speaks exactly to what you were saying before, where the relationship with the city manager, the mayor, the council, mm-hmm. all those relationships absolutely matter
yes.
because that's how you get a working plan in place, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we get caught behind the eight ball
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we're always trying to catch up, and development can happen so quickly. And one of the conversations I had recently was, yeah, development's one thing, but the other thing too is, yeah, we have the resources maybe to handle it right now, but with development and an increase in population comes delayed response times.
Mm-hmm,
trying
mm-hmm.
to get across the boulevard to get to the southern end of town or
that's,
so on,
God,
right?
You're familiar with the Red Bulls, right?
Yeah. When you have a Red Bull event, well, we had the big Messi game this year.
Right.
I mean, that must have brought, had to be 30, 35,000 people in here.
Right.
It was landlocked. I mean,
it was a 1 square mile town.
It was,
right?
And it's an all day event.
Right.
This doesn't happen for 3 hours and they're gone. This is an all-day event, traffic everywhere. So every call, I mean, you're hunting down calls. You get calls for, you know, you're looking for parked cars. You're trying to get the calls, and it is a problem. The mayor and council do see it, to their credit. They understand what's happening.
Yeah.
They're not blind to this. They know, and they're supportive of it. Firehouse down there would be great. I mean, we also have, I've seen this, like, you see this in different areas. Like, redevelopment brings in different problems that I don't think people expect in terms of like maybe flooding
sure.
and stuff like that mm-hmm. until the infrastructure kindly gets fine tuned. So it's kind of could hold us back a little bit, but we want to do it. We want to do it right.
You know, you want to talk about a number, which is talk about how many people come into town, right? So at one point, Harrison's residents were about 14,000 people during the night. And the workforce mm-hmm. here with all it was a beehive of industry with all the industry here. The occupancy went up to 90,000 people. They were putting in 90,000 workers.
Yeah, you had Westinghouse.
Wow.
This was all worse. We were sitting now at one time was all factories.
Yeah.
Now we're going back. This building here was built in the 70s.
Yeah. Sure.
But way before that. So we both grew up in the area.
Yeah.
So I remember as a kid, people from my block who worked down here, worked in wherever, Driver, Harris, Otis, Westinghouse. Yeah, it was amazing the amount of people that were coming in here just to work.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense, right? I mean, you look at the transportation routes that come mm-hmm. through here, right? I mean, you guys cover a stretch of 280, but 280, mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking 80s right up the road. 95 is mm-hmm. literally a stone's throw, mm-hmm. right? Route 3, I mean, the list mm-hmm. goes on and on of major transportation arteries that run through this area, plus the trains.
Right.
Plus your closeness to the city of Newark, right? Jersey City, which is the largest city in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot here, and you guys almost are like shoehorned right into the middle of it all, right?
Well, think about what you could possibly respond to on a highway nowadays.
Yeah.
With the electric vehicles, the tankers and stuff. I mean, you know, you need two engines just to put out a car fire because the car can get going by the time you get there. Imagine, you know, you get if they ever did a semi truck that was battery powered, you know, battery operated.
Don't forget it.
You'd be there for days and you're shuttling water and
getting you all the equipment there
yeah.
and being versatile.
Yeah.
To be able to respond to all that, that's what where the thinking of engine four came in, you know, with the battery operated tools mm-hmm. and making sure that everything's there because you just don't know what you're going to have.
Well, that's it. And then not only that, but getting tied up like that up there, we talk simple things like a booster line, right?
Yeah.
You guys get a lot of the meadows lighting mm-hmm. off on the yeah. side of the mm-hmm. highway and stuff, right? All the tall grass. And just using the booster line, you know, I was talking before with the captain downstairs and just, or I think it was one of the firemen I was talking to, it's just the expeditious nature of deploying and packing a booster line versus, you know, an 1 3/4 line. Get off the highway as fast as possible.
Absolutely.
Right?
Scary
yeah.
place, the highway.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
Worse than a fire.
Yeah.
I agree with you hands down. I mean, I absolutely agree with you. I hate working up. We have a stretch of the interstate in my first due, and I hate going up there.
Yeah.
And we've had so many close calls up there where, you know, you're working and you hear tires screeching and
yeah.
you look up and somebody's swerving to avoid.
Not paying attention, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's
I mean,
a tough
there's
spot.
Been numerous times be up there working an accident and somebody else now mm-hmm. has an accident,
yeah,
you know?
For sure. So there's a lot happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The department, it was great. Just getting to meet some of the guys today, we had a couple of the different guys do the behind the build project with us. and just getting to know them a little bit. There's this culture here that seems pretty ate up. They're bought in. They want to do more, be better. And it seems like that's very prevalent here.
It is.
That's exciting.
It is. We have a lot of young recruits, young firefighters, and, you know, they're hardworking. They come on, they get on the job knowing what the job, or kind of have an understanding of what the job is. We send them up to the academy. They get out of there, and then the officers. So the officers do a great job getting them ready and keeping that culture moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, the times when times were tough, the culture kind of, you know, it was tough, weight on your shoulders. And some of us are still around to have experienced that. But moving past that, that's the past, moving forward, and they do a great job getting them ready and keeping that culture moving forward.
We got to keep moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. Motivation is key, and the young guys are motivated. And they have no choice. We have nowhere to go. They got to train. Got to train, you got to learn, you know, and we keep moving.
This is an area that requires a lot of your people. It's very diverse. You got a lot of things thrown at you in a 24-hour tour. But yeah, you got to be on the ball. There's no
doubt.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah. What's next? What's the future look like? Some thoughts, ideas? Where's Harrison headed? Where's the Harrison Fire Department headed?
At one point, Harrison had 4 firehouses in town.
Wow, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes, you know, single company.
Careered?
Yeah.
Okay,
career.
When do you know when it was a career department?
I'm not sure exactly when it was.
Yeah.
Sometime around 1837.
Was that far?
I know that's when they were volunteer, but I'm not sure. I could get you the numbers.
Yeah, I was just curious, yeah. But it's been a long, a career department for quite a long time.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, we're down to 1 firehouse. Our other location is now used for EMS, which there is a tower bell there. They have a bell in the tower, which we're looking to get. So it's from the late 1800s. It was built. It was built in Maryland somewhere, and we're going to be bringing it here. When we bring it down, we're going to bring it here. It has the original fire committee members inscribed on it. So we want to get that down and display it out here. So
nice
that's
piece
one
of history.
That's one of the things we want to do. Some stuff with the history of the town. And look, I do see a growth. I think another firehouse or a bigger location is in the future. I see we're looking to hire again this year and maybe expand our workforce. So we're looking to get some more new recruits in the academy by April. So, and we're also going to be having it's really exciting to have some promotions coming up in February with Captain Fognell here. He's going to be promoted battalion chief.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And hopefully we can grow out the staff. I mean, when I got on, I think there was 5 guys up here, you know, so it was some lean years, but we're bouncing back. Yeah. It's all good stuff ahead. I mean, wish list and you know, within 2 years, another firehouse added company, another added company, 3 engines and a ladder would be nice. Piggyback off that in another maybe year or two, maybe get a rescue, which can help out with the 280 situation would be nice. And I think for that week is like the wish list, like the ultimate,
for sure. Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, I would be hopeful to see another company in 2 years.
Yeah, when I got on the job, it was 62 members for the department. And it'd be nice to get that and then even add on to that a little bit with the redevelopment that we have here.
Well, I think that's it, right? I mean, this area for 1 square mile, what's happening here is it's gangbusters. And you have tremendous growth. And with Red Bull Stadium, which is a very popular venue. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are thousands of people flocking to that stadium during the season, and it's your responsibility to provide the protection for them, as well as the redevelopment that's surrounding the stadium down there. So you guys, I'm sure, in your 29 years, I think you said, I'm sure you've seen quite a change in Harrison.
It has been. So, you know, when I first got on the job, that was all redeveloped. That was all the industry down there that had left. Since then, a lot of it's been redeveloped. There's still some areas down there that need to be redeveloped, and they're working on it. There's plans for that, so it's exciting.
If there's property to be developed, they're going to develop it.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, exciting times in Harrison.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to say thank you for joining me today around the table, talking a little bit about the department and the town that you guys protect. I wish you all tremendous success with your careers. Congratulations, Cap.
Thank you.
Moving up to the battalion in a few weeks. That's wonderful.
That's great news.
And Chief, thank you. Thanks for opening your doors and being part of this process. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. And I have a little thing. So,
please.
You know, when the recruits go to the academy and they graduate, I usually say a few words, and I have a little quote at the end.
Please.
So it's a quote from Mark Bezos. He's a volunteer firefighter in New York. And his quote says, not every day is going to offer us an opportunity to save a life, but every day offers us the opportunity to affect one.
I love it. And I think it speaks to what's happening here in Harrison. So, Chief, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. And thank you to the viewer. Thanks for joining us on the 2024 calendar project with Fire and Safety Services. We're here in Harrison, New Jersey. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us. And follow along as the progress as the calendar project moves on throughout 2024, each month featuring a new department. So I'm Jeremy with National Fire Radio. Thanks for joining me out of Harrison, New Jersey with the Behind the Department video series. We'll see you at the next one.